to withstand the onslaught, the Potawatomis moved west and settled in Upper Michigan in the Wisconsin forests, where they could hunt and fish in the way they were accustomed. They left the fertile land to the French, who were happy to build a settlement in the land of wild garlic called Chicagua. Eventually, the Iroquois' attacks became less frequent and different native bands were once more able to trade with the Europeans. Many Potawatomi made their way back to Lake Michigan and became partners with the new residents. The natives traded furs and food items, but also took up the role of middlemen between Europeans and various tribes. They learned French and took up important roles as translators, also settling disputes whenever necessary. This was a huge asset because the Iroquois Wars, known as the Beaver Wars, had upset huge numbers of Native Americans who had been forced to move, losing their lands and business prospects. Despite the changing economy, the Potawatomi natives generally subsisted the way they had always had, with hunting, gardening, and fishing. Peaceful, skilled, and willing to assist both Native and European people, the tribe's territory grew larger than it had ever been in the past. The era of prosperity and expansion wouldn't last, however. In 1789, the Potawatomi were subjected to their first land treaty, by which they procured cash and lands further west in exchange for their abandonment of the settlement on Lake Michigan. Wherever they moved, newer land treaties chased them until finally, the remaining bands were forced to become U.S. citizens or face further persecution. Though tribe members had fought with the Americans and at other times for the British, in the War of Independence, they were given no favors by either side. In the end, the Potawatomi tribe lost an estimated 89 million acres of pristine hunting and foraging lands, including the settlement by the Great Lake. The surrender inspired the birth of the citizen Potawatomi Nation, an attempt by the members of the tribe to conserve their history and culture for future generations. Today, the citizen Potawatomi Nation is one of 39 federally recognized Native American tribes, but their headquarters are far from Chicago. A Frenchman of African descent, Jean-Baptiste Pointe du Sable, is generally credited with the foundation of Chicago as a permanent settlement at some point in the late 18th century. When the last group of Potawatomi natives were driven from the area, the tribe members dressed up in full war regalia to perform a war dance. It was the last ever witnessed in Chicago. Chapter 2. All roads and railways lead to Chicago. French explorers first discovered Chicago by way of the Chicago Portage, a strip of land connecting the Mississippi River and the Great Lakes. Here, explorers and nomadic people would carry their canoes from one water's edge to another, thereby connecting the European-established eastern and western sections of the United States. By the mid-18th century, however, things were very different from what Chicago's original inhabitants had experienced. The first step towards modernization was to make transportation as efficient and effective as possible. To that end, in 1848, both the Illinois and Michigan Canal and the Galena and Chicago Union Railroads were completed. By 1837, the community was not only booming, it was incorporated as a formal city. For a decade after, it was the fastest growing city in the United States. Originally attractive to settlers and natives as a fur trading center, the city was home to many more growing industries in the 19th century. With the support of its two major transportation systems, the population continued to grow as tradespeople and prospective business owners flooded in, looking for opportunities for land, jobs, and money. A few innovative people struck it rich, defining Chicago as a premier American city. The canalways allowed ships from the Great Lakes to connect to the Mississippi River and continue inland with cargo and passengers. Shipments of meats, produce, iron, and manufacturing tools provided Victorian Chicagoans with everything they needed to thrive, sustain families, and participate in the industrial era that had overtaken the entire Western world. From